Kim.
Hi, I'm Danae, and welcome to Mysterious Mavens.
We are a true crime podcast that talk about creepy, spooky things as well, and we are very interested in self-care.
Yes. So, what did you do for self-care this week?
Self-care is something I take a big priority in my life, and this week I took walks every other day on the bluffs behind my apartment.
With the dogs?
Yes.
Nice.
And I gotta tell you, I think it was beneficial for not only me, but I think it was also beneficial for Keith and Aspen and Ruger. Yeah. I feel like, I mean, there's nothing better than just, you know, being out also after dark when it's not so hot for their little paws, too.
Right. So that was like, hear the crickets and stuff.
Yeah. And so I feel like that just, it's just beyond another level of, like, self-care is just hearing the crickets. And, you know, like, the cool breeze, because, like, Colorado's the best for that at nighttime. What did you do for self-care this week?
What did I do? Well, I hung out with a friend that I haven't seen in a while. I don't know if this really counts as self-care, but, like, we just had, like, good,
deep conversations. Your love is definitely.
Yeah, like, he came into town, he lives in Seattle, and we hung out, and, like, I don't know. We just, like, kind of caught up and, like, had good conversations about life.
He sounds like one of those friends that you don't see for a while, and you just pick up where you left off.
Yeah, exactly.
So I love those friendships.
It was just, like, good to, I don't know, chat.
Yeah.
Talk about what our goals are and stuff like that.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I just remember Andrew playing the drums and I still have a video of that. And
it's my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is not trained, for the record.
He is not a trained drummer.
He's not trained professional, but the video was having fun. Is so great. So
I forgot about that.
You'll have to send it to him.
Yeah.
You remember this?
Remember that one time? Okay, so my story for you today is the Rainbow Girls murders.
Rainbow Girls murders?
Yes. So have you heard of the Rainbow family?
The Rainbow family, is that like the group of people that like to like party in forests?
They kind of party in forests, but like I looked up their website and they're just like a loosely organized group.
And organized as in
as in non-organized. So they call themselves the largest non-organization of non-members. We have no leaders and no organization. So it's just this,
okay,
like,
but, like, my question is, sorry, who's doing your website? Who's picking all the things?
I don't know, just, like, some random fucking people. But they're, like, specifically on the website, they were, like, I am not, like, the leader. Like, they had, like, a whole disclaimer about, like, I don't know, legal jargon and shit about how it's not this one person.
Who hired the lawyer? I have so many questions.
I don't know. They have a lawyer. But basically, they have a large variety of people. So that's why they call themselves, like, the Rainbow Family. Because
sure.
There's a lot of religion. They kind of, like, take from a lot of different things. So they rely a lot on, like, Native American kind of beliefs.
Okay.
They take from here, they take from there. They kind of, like, have their own little...
I gotta say, I don't find that awful. I find that kind of interesting.
I don't really find that awful either, because as long as you're not, like, appropriating.
Sure.
Which...
I find it really... Because I feel like I'm not religious at all.
No, me either.
But I know that there are some, like, religions that I've heard some stuff, and I'm like, oh, that's a cool part, but all of it's awful.
Right, sure. That. Like, here's one part I like, and I will leave the rest. So they kind of do that, but their basic, like, principles are based on nonviolence, peace, and community building.
Okay, that I can kind of get
behind. Like, I can get behind that. And they like, also...
what am I going to hate it?
Right. And they're also super big on, like, conservationalism.
Okay.
So they're like, let's keep the planet, like, let's keep this planet so that we can continue to live here. Like, recycle, do better. Like,
I also love that for
them. So I love that too. But basically, they started, like, 50 years ago, actually.
Okay.
So they started gathering every year 72? From... Don't ask me to do math.
I just, like, was, like, calculating.
Sure. They started, basically, where they would, like, all gather, and it's July 1st through the 7th, and you can, like, get there early, you can kind of stay late. They always meet in a national park.
And it doesn't matter. It's always the 1st through the 7th.
I guess, yeah.
Okay.
And so on the 4th of July, it's like the big kind of like hoopla is that they have a big prayer. So like everyone that comes, which is like thousands and thousands of people.
Okay.
Gather and they spend the entire day on July 4th praying for world peace. So, like,
I mean, there's worse ways you could spend the 4th of July.
Right. So, like, whatever. Good for them.
Go you. You
do you. I don't think prayer is going to change the world, but whatever.
You know, we're here for...
Just do you.
We're here for a time, not a long time, but...
Right. So, the first gathering they ever had was in Aspen, which I found interesting because Colorado, like...
my dog's name.
And this year was the 50th anniversary where they also held it in Colorado. So it was in Adams Park area of the Route National Forest.
I wonder if it was like kind of to like commemorate their, you know, first time in Colorado.
I don't fucking know.
Who's to say?
I think they just kind of travel
in charge,
every
so.
Year. They just go to a different national park.
Yeah.
And people are kind of like, people don't necessarily like that they come to these national parks because you want to conserve the land. And obviously when there's like thousands and thousands of people in like a span of a week,
impossible.
Like that's a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
And trash is going to be left behind. Like things, like as much as they're like, we want to make sure everything is good. I don't know. Crime happens. There's bound to be shitty people.
I mean,
people.
Think about, like, the times we've gone to, like, camping spots and it's just gross.
Yeah, like...
And it's, like, obviously there's not 1,000 people there.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, people can just... People can suck sometimes.
Yeah, people can suck.
Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah, they're just kind of, like, this huge group, non-group of people.
Yeah.
That are, like, kind of hippies and, like... peace, love, and let's try to all be nice to each other, okay. Which is, like, fine.
Cool. Yeah.
So, that brings me to the point of this story. So, in 1980, June of 1980,
okay.
Three women set out to go on a little cross-country road trip.
Why not?
But they didn't have a car, so they hitchhiked, which is normal for the 80s, I guess.
I mean...
That's unheard of today.
We would now, I mean, how many horror movies do they have that start, like, they picked up a hitchhiker?
And how many true crime stories where it's, like, never pitch...
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just a bad idea. Like, especially as a woman.
Just a fun side note, I totally agree with that. Like, my grandparents, were in Telluride, and they were, you know, that's where I have, like, a family place.
Yeah.
And, Trout Lake, which is down the road from it, was between that, and their car broke down between Telluride and Trout Lake. And it's only like a 10-mile stretch of road. It's nothing crazy. Yeah. They had to hitchhike because I don't know what the issue was. I don't know if the car broke down and they ran out of gas, but they had to hitchhike to like get places, and that was really normal.
Mm, yeah.
It wasn't like weird. And my mom was like, it was terrifying, and I was like, well, yeah, no.
I would never do it. But this was the 80s, so you know.
Whatever. Do you?
So the Rainbow Gathering for this particular year was set to be in West Virginia, in Pocahontas County on Droop Mountain. So so these three girls, I'll tell you who they are. Nancy Santomero.
Okay.
She's 19 and she wanted to be a forest ranger. She loved that. I know. She's like such a like sweet little, you see her picture and you're like, oh my God. Like
so sweet.
She's so sweet.
Aww.
She loved the outdoors. She loved biking, hiking, walking around. Like, sounds she just like wanted us. To be outside. Yeah. When she graduated in 1979 from Huntington High School in New York, she did one semester of college at SUNY Buffalo.
Okay, some I haven't college. Heard of that before.
I don't know, it's a college.
Yeah.
She only did one semester, and she was like, fuck this.
Not for me.
And she moved to Tucson, where she met Vicky Durian. And Vicky was 26. They met outside of an organic food co-op.
That's amazing.
They hit it off because they were talking about being Scorpios.
Oh, can relate.
Right? And they just, like, become fast friends. So Vicky, she was a nurse, or she was like working in home health, which was cool because it was kind of, it gave her the flexibility to then like go on vacations and take a week off or whatever. But she also loved adventure. She loved the outdoors. She grew up in Iowa on a farm.
Okay. So they like had very different upbringings too.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she ended up being in a group house in Tucson with like 10 people. So they met in Tucson, they became fast friends. Mm-hmm. Vicky had a friend from Iowa named Liz Jondro. She was 18. She was like kind of a wild card.
We all have that.
This is like so interesting to me. She moved to an outlaw commune where people basically just, like, hid from the law. Like, if you were, like wanted for...
the lawless west.
Yeah, exactly. She was just like, okay, this is the life
for me. Okay, I guess we're doing that.
I don't know. I didn't know that was a thing that existed, but the 80s. So...
Hashtag 80s.
Liz calls Vicky, and she's like, hey, let's go to this... Rainbow Gathering Festival. Like, it's gonna be really cool. There's gonna be like-minded interests. People. They love the outdoors. They love nature. They're all about peace and love and
all that.
And they love smoking weed. And so Vicky's like, sure, let's do it. But can I bring my friend Nancy? Like, you're really gonna like Nancy. Also, I think she could use the experience. It's gonna be super fun. So, all three of the girls are like, yay, we're gonna do that. So...
three's a scary number.
So, Nancy and Vicky come from Tucson to Iowa to meet Liz. They, like, hitchhike to Iowa, meet Liz, and then all three of them hitchhike to West Virginia.
Okay. Where the That's fest. Really far.
Yeah, this is, like, an intense trip.
I wouldn't want to do that with my own car.
Right. I don't even want to drive that ever.
I don't even want to go, like...
But I guess they're not driving, you know? They get to be, like, passengers.
I mean, that's good.
I mean, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. It's hard, even with, like, reliable transportation. It's just... Ugh.
It's a long way. So, anyways, they arrive early to West Virginia, like, before the festival, because it's supposed to start July 1st.
Yeah.
So, they're like, why don't we go to South Carolina and just, like, have some fun, hang out on Sullivan's Island.
Go to the beach, I'm sure, yeah.
And then we'll come back to West Virginia. So, they set off with that plan. At a truck stop in Richmond, Virginia, Liz got, like, a bad vibe. she was like, I don't know about this trip. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. Listen to your gut. 100%. So she's kind of like, okay, I can't just leave. Like, we've all been in the situation where you can't just, like, leave because you're like, sorry, I have a bad feeling, you know? Especially when your friends are involved.
Yeah. I feel like nowadays it's a little more like, if you and me were, like, somewhere and you're like, hey, I have a bad feeling, unless it was a Killers concert, I'd be like, bitch, get in line. But sure. If you were like, I have a bad feeling, I'd be like, okay, let's leave.
Yeah.
But I feel like, yeah, during that time, also being that young, I mean, yeah, we're older now, right? So, like, we're like,
she's 18. Like,
yeah, so I'd be like, nah.
Yeah, so anyway, she gets this, like, bad feeling, and she decides to call her parents. And, like, so mind you, she's been living on this, like, outlaw.
Okay, so her parents don't even know what she's been doing.
No,
she's
like, she doesn't, like, keep in touch with them, apparently, yeah, like, on a regular basis. And she finds out her dad's, like, getting remarried in Vermont. And she's like, perfect excuse, goodbye. So she's like, bye, sorry, like, my dad's getting married.
I guess I should go.
I guess I should leave. And so she fucking pieces out.
And this is Liz. Like, the additional, the
Liz Jandro. Yeah, she just was like, bye-bye. And they were like, cool, whatever, we're gonna keep on keeping on to the festival.
Okay.
So she leaves, and then Nancy and Vicky get to West Virginia. They're like, whatever, hitchhiking there. And on June 25th, 1980, their bodies are found at, like, 9 p.m. at just at on this road. So this dude is walking home.
So this story, we're just like, okay, Liz leaves, and then suddenly, like, they have bodies? Like, what?
Yeah, so Liz leaves, they get to West Virginia, they get to their destination. We don't really know, like,
well, I mean, all in the 80s, we didn't have phones anymore. No. It's not, you know, like, you could track, like, let's say we did a cross-country trip. Like, you could track what we did better because we have phones.
Well, we also have, like, social media, so it's like, yeah, we're taking pictures along the way.
Yeah.
Like, they don't really have that. And they're, yeah, like, you know, minimally packed because they're going to camp and, well, like,
they're hitchhiking,
yeah,
too.
They're hitchhiking. So it's not like you can't bring a whole bunch, yeah, of luggage. So anyways, their bodies are found. This man is, like, walking to his home, and he sees these two bodies lying on the ground. And he, at first, he's like, oh, these people are, like, making out, like, gross.
Oh, yeah.
I'm, like, not trying to get too close. But then he has this feeling that, like, something is off. Like, yeah, it doesn't feel quite right.
Good for him.
So please, he goes, like, a little closer, and he realizes that it's two women who have been shot, and it's very clear that they are dead. Like, there's no, we're not going to see.
So it's not the story of, like, them thinking it's a mannequin.
No, it's not a mannequin. And he's like, holy shit. So he calls the cops. They come. It's a pretty small, like, I mean, even though it's a really big county, it's very rural.
Do they know at this point how long they had been dead for?
Yes. Okay. So after they kind of, like, examine the bodies, do whatever, it's kind of determined, estimated, that they've been dead for 3 hours or less.
Oh, wow. So it was not, like, a few days.
No, it was recent.
Oh, that's scary.
The rigor mortis hadn't even set in.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they're still, like, pliable. That sounds so gross. Sorry.
No, but, like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what other word can you say, yeah, for that?
So they were both shot from close range. The autopsy determined that they were shot from about a 45 degree angle.
Okay.
From above. So they were either, like, kneeling or sitting or whatever.
Oh.
Yeah, so someone was, like, above them, pointing the gun at them.
Oh, that's so awful.
Them. Yeah. And it was, like, at such a close range that there was, like, gunpowder on their faces.
Oh, my God, that's way too close.
Yeah, so really awful. They had not been sexually assaulted.
Thank God. I mean, obviously the situation's, yeah, not great, but I don't know. There's just something extra awful,
yeah,
when you hear about, you know, sexual assault going on.
Absolutely. But there just, like, wasn't a lot of evidence. One of the girls was holding a map in her hand of where the festival would be. So then they start kind of like,
so it makes you wonder if they were like, you know, with somebody they trusted, and they were like looking at the map and sitting down and like they didn't know it was coming.
Right. Or like, yeah. So,
because you're not going to hold a map when you're like begging for your life, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
I thought that part was a little bit, I don't know. It just seemed weird.
Yeah.
But so especially it had like a hand-drawn map, like as if they had kind of like asked someone like, where is this place?
Okay.
So they had the map on the flyer for the festival.
So somebody drew that. So they're wondering if that's the person who potentially committed the crimes.
And then also they didn't have any IDs on them. So they didn't know who these girls were.
That makes it so much harder.
Yeah.
But I guess
so then they're like, okay, so obviously they're going to this festival and we don't really have like any kind of evidence as to who they are. So they took pictures of their faces, like after they're dead.
Oh no.
And kind of printed out flyers and like talked to someone at the festival and was like, because we need to figure out who these girls are. Like, we don't know. And they were obviously going to this festival.
Yeah.
So they print out flyers, whatever. They don't really get any kind of traction for, like, several days.
Well, because this is far away from, like, where they're essentially from and, like, where friends and family would see them.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, so that makes sense.
So here's another thing. Nancy's sister, Kathy, who was from New York, was supposed to come meet them at the festival. So
that's
Kathy,
good and bad, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kathy shows up to the festival. Obviously, this isn't a time where we don't have cell phones.
Yeah, so you're just like, hopefully I find
you. You're like, hopefully I find you. Like, I know what your outfit looks like, but, like, I don't, other than that, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
So she shows up. Nancy never shows up. And she's like, okay, maybe she just, like, found something more fun to do or, like, I don't know. There's
cool,
a
guys. I guess
reasons.
I'll just enjoy this by myself.
Right. So by the time July 5th rolls around, she's kind of like, okay, she's not showing up. I'm just going to go back home. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to be
here. I feel like any one of us would do that at that point.
Like, why would you?
Yeah.
So she goes home and one of her friends shows her this newspaper article where it has the girls' faces in it. And she's like, holy shit, that's my fucking sister. So then she has to drive all the way back to West Virginia because, like, she can't just, like, call them and be like, hey, like, I think that's my sister. Like, she doesn't really have any contact information. So she has to go down to that place.
Can't imagine finding out that way. And then you're like, oh, let me figure this out.
Right. So then she has to identify her sister's body, which is awful.
I don't know, like, God bless the people that are able to do that, but I gotta tell you, if there was ever even an inkling, I would do it.
Cause you have to find out.
I would do it.
Yeah.
But I gotta say it, I don't think I would come out of there the same person.
Oh no, I don't think so either.
Like, that's your fucking sister.
Yeah.
Like, ugh.
So, she had drove back on July 8th. To identify her sister.
Okay, so, like, right after the festival had ended.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, and then she, like, once she identified her sister, then she kind of helped with helping them to contact Vicky's family.
Okay, so she, so that was going to be my next question. So she knew both the girls. It wasn't just, like,
I don't know if she knew,
friend.
If she had met Vicky before.
Okay.
But she knew that Nancy was coming.
Sure, okay. So she told her sister. Well, like, it was like, did she know
me and my
before?
Friends are coming?
Yeah.
Kind of thing, like, meet us there.
Yeah. And she probably had mentioned, like, who they were and
totally.
Stuff like
so
that.
So I don't think, so. I'm not really sure 100% if she knew Vicky beforehand or not.
But I guess, like, you would be like, yeah, I mean, like, how many times has, like, Eric called us, like, hey, I'm coming, and so is this person,
yeah,
this
and
person,
you're like,
this
I guess
person.
We're just meeting we're like, these people.
I guess that's what we're doing
fine.
Now.
So, for 2 years, it's just kind of
going through the motions.
Cold.
Yeah.
Like, there's no new leads, there's not a lot of evidence, like,
it's
nothing's
the 80s.
Really
it's
coming
not, like,
in.
They have DNA or, like, much more information than a drawn map and... you know,
and like because they're coming into this place, like some of the residents of Pocahontas County were a little like they were mad that these people were coming in, you know, mad that they're invading their kind of like rural area. So
I mean, as you mentioned before,
yeah,
regardless of like how, you know, how careful you are, yeah, how careful you are, you're gonna destroy things, and that crime goes up,
yeah,
with these rainbow gathering festivals.
And so rumors had kind of been spread that maybe they were killed for being part of the rainbow family.
Which,
like, maybe someone was mad and was just, like, lashing out or something. Like, who knows?
That makes total sense, that theory, for sure. Yeah.
But regardless of them being murdered on June 25th and then the festival starting on July 1st, like, thousands of people still flooded in.
Like, who like, are you
didn't
to
really
say?
Stop people from coming into this place.
Yeah. And I mean, there's people who are rational. They're like, oh, maybe if I kill these people, no one will come in. And it's like, nah, that's not how it works.
Yeah. Okay. So then 2 years later, July 1982, this man, this resident of Pocahontas County, Jacob Beard, who was kind of known as like the town bully. He was kind of a dick. He was, like, pretty okay when he was sober, but if he was, quote, sniffing gas or smoking pot...
I'm sorry. What?
He was meaner than hell.
I don't...
Here's Why are you sniffing gas, sir?
I don't know, Danae. Have you seen me after I sniff gas? I'm pretty...
Also, when I smoke weed, like, I feel like I get tired.
You like, just want to go, like, wrap up with
who's
a blanket.
Getting ragey after smoking weed?
I cannot think of a single time where somebody's like...
Where someone was
let's
like...
Let's smoke pot and go party. Like no, let's smoke really... pot and, like, go to bed.
I don't know. So, whatever, he's...
Sniffing gas and smoking weed. Oh, my God. I need a t-shirt that says, sniffing gas and smoking weed makes me cry. I'm sorry, I'm not over it.
Oh my God. So people were like afraid of him. And he's like a big man. He's like 250. Yeah. He's like 6 foot or something like that. Like he's just like a big man.
Yeah.
So this man, 2 years after this murder has occurred, just randomly, like I would assume uses like a phone book, looks up Vicky's parents' phone number.
I don't like this already.
And calls them. And he's like, hey, super bummer they never found the murderer.
I'm...
like...
I have a few questions. Okay. First off, how dare you?
Yeah.
Second off, how fucking dare you? And third off, like...
Why?
Why 2 years later?
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
He's just having a little think, and he's like... You know what I should do?
Bully the parents of a deceased female who her parents are probably trying to heal from this awful, awful event.
So he talks about how he's, like, sorry that they never found the murderer.
Okay, quick side note. Let's say something horrible happened to you. I'm not going to put anyone out there because that's awful.
Sure.
But, like, can you imagine if, like, somebody called in, like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry about, like, blank who died. It's such a shame they didn't find who killed them. Would you not be like, what absolutely leave me the fuck alone and never call this number
well,
again?
Well, I think it's weird because it's, like, you don't know these people at all. And you took the time to, like, look them up.
And also...
Like, that's weird.
Here's an interesting thought, too.
Like, he called strangers.
But obviously he remembers something about this female. I mean, her name, her last name, like, obviously something was said. Like, you knew enough information about her to know her last name, at least, to look up her parents and where she's from.
Yeah.
That's something that I find a little bit interesting.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
So, I think it was the dad who had, like, answered the phone call, and he's like, what the fuck? Like, who are you?
Like, please don't.
He refuses to identify himself. So they're just left like, okay, that was weird.
Yeah.
So then they call the police, like you do, and they're like,
as one will.
That is so bizarre that this random man just like called us and was like, bummer about your daughter's death. And so then the police...
I just want to know what the end game was of that.
Yeah. So the police are like, okay, we're going to tap this phone because...
Like, obviously something's
off. Obviously something's off and, like, what a weirdo. Hopefully he calls again. This motherfucker does.
Of course he fucking does.
he calls again and he's like, hey, the Pocahontas County Police suck and, like, they're not smart. So, like, you should really get the FBI involved if you want this to be solved.
Dude, fuck off. Like, why? What?
So, then he's like, they're like, who are you? And he just is like, not the murderer. Not the murderer, you guys.
Who's there? Not the murderer. Sounds legit.
Okay, Let's go. Bye.
Talk to you later. I'm just gonna question this the rest of my life, but it was definitely not the murderer. Jesus Christ.
So then, like, the police, because they've tapped the phone, then they find out, like, what, you know, caller ID or whatever the fuck, however that works.
Well, I remember, like, and I don't know if this is just, like, one of those things, but do you remember, like, growing up and, like, also, fun fact, we, watched horror movies at way too young of ages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember like, Star 6-7?
No, but, like, do you remember, like, when we would watch old movies and they're, like, we were able to trace the call, or to trace the call, they have to be on the phone for 1 minute.
I think that's true.
Okay.
I don't know.
Because you know how
you have to, like, it has to, like, connect, probably.
Sure, sure, sure. I'm just, like, wondering, because, you know, like, I always, like, wondered if that was, like, just one of those, like, things, you know?
Like a movie thing?
Yeah, like, one of the, keep him on the phone for 1 minute. And, like, at 59 seconds, they're like, they you'll never find me. Yeah. Like, what the shit?
I have no idea. Motherfucker had a lot to say, so.
Yeah. He had a lot of talking to do.
He had a lot to get off his mind.
Oh, God.
So, then they track him down, and they're like, hey, why would you do this?
What is you doing, boo-boo?
Yeah. Like,
what is... I don't know, baby. What is you doing?
He's like, what? Who, me? And he's like...
Little old me.
I would never. So he fucking denies it at first.
Of course.
And they're like, bro.
Like,
we know it's
we
you.
We traced it.
We're gonna need you to, like, participate and, like, not be a dick and just be like, why would you do that? And he was like, well, I, like, saw, like, they ran something in the newspaper about, like, 2 years and it hadn't been solved.
Oh my God. So he's and like, let me just taunt the family.
Like, and I was just, like, really sad that, like, they never had any closure and I just wanted to reach out. I'm like, you're the town bully, bitch. Like, I just really don't buy that story.
Well, and my question is,
you just felt bad? What?
Did they look into, like, somebody who would have, written an article? I mean, that's just a thing, too.
I don't know. So, he's being a weirdo.
I love to call people who are very sad about things and just bring it up.
Just randomly.
Really fuck up their day.
So, obviously, it's, like, weird.
And yeah, that's like, the weirdest thing I've literally ever heard.
And they're like, okay, so, like, do you have an alibi? Or, like, what the fuck is your deal?
It's like, going through the police handbook, like, what do we ask them? Oh, alibi.
Oh, yes. Right, alibi.
We got it.
So he's like, yeah, guys, I have an alibi. He's like, I worked in my tractor sales job, and then I, like, did some field work for a customer. And then he stopped by the grocery store at 5:15, and then him and his wife went to a school board meeting at 7, and he was home by 9. And he said that he saw this lady from town, Christine Cook. He saw her car with Buddy Atkinson and William McCoy.
I'm sorry, these sound like the most made-up fucking names ever.
We don't even really need to know the names. It's like, whatever, who cares? Yeah.
Buster McCrackers! Like the dumbest names ever.
Right.
Like, that's all I can think of. Was like, this, what are the dumbest names? I'm gonna use that. Like, what are you doing?
I don't know. He said he, like, saw some people and, like, tried to be like, maybe they did it.
And yes, like, the old get the guilty off of me.
Sure, yeah. They're like, okay. So they look into it, like, nothing really comes of it. Then Then he tells a story.
Oh, of course he does.
That in September of 1980, this dude, Buddy Atkinson, and his friend, Arnold Cutlip, brought a dead body to his farm and
pick better names.
Put it in a corn chopper. I'm not really sure what that is.
It makes me wonder if it's kind of like a wood chipper. Like, I wonder if they do, like, small... Because I don't know much about corn. I was not born in Nebraska. So...
I don't know much about
corn. I wonder corn if it's either. Something kind of like a... Like,
does it just take it off the cob?
I'm wondering if that's the case, because, like, you know, because we have a lot of canned corn. I guarantee no one's just pulling it off.
Sure, by hand.
Yeah, so I'm assuming
seems like a like that. Problematic thing to put a body into, though. Yeah. I don't know what... How that works. Anyways.
Well, he huffs gas for fun, so...
Apparently, allegedly, they said it was the third Rainbow Girl. Which, like, also doesn't make sense because Liz left.
Did they get confirmation that she had made it back, though?
They did. I forgot to say that. Okay. She did make it back. She made it back, whatever. She heard in the news that the girls were found and they were, like, looking for her body. Oh, and she called the police in Pocahontas County, and she was like, hey, P.S., I'm alive.
I followed my God.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and she kind of, like, told them her story of the last time she saw the girls.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense, too, because I guess, like, we didn't, you know, because, I mean, hitchhiking, she probably had to hitchhike back home.
Yeah, she absolutely did, and, like, yeah.
Okay.
So, anyways, so that's a weird... So they
found the third, but they're, like...
Third girl.
How?
The guy Cutlip was arrested. Atkinson was already in jail for another murder charge, so, like, whatever.
Wait, so that's a real name? Like, a real guy? Wow.
Yeah.
That just sounds like a fake made-up name.
Right? So, eventually, this whole statement that Beard said gets, like, thrown out and dismissed because they're like, this is a fake story. Like, he's not credible. He then recanted, or not, like, recanted, but he kind of went back and was like, oh, the sheriff, like, the investigator.
Well, he's meddling, too, so they're like, he wants to be involved in some way, shape, or form. So, obviously, I mean, if you're finding out that somebody's, like, calling the family and they're meddling, like, I mean, first off, you're going to be like, you need to back the fuck off. Right. But you're also going to be like, obviously, you're not doing anything. You, like, weirdly want to be involved.
Yeah, so that whole... thing gets just, like, thrown out. It's not real. It's not even credible. He tries to say that, like, the detective that's on the case, like, wrote up the statement for him and put his name on it. And it's just, like, you don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, you're a lying liar. So, that just gets thrown out.
Lying liar.
You're a lying liar. So then, this just gets crazy. So then
it's not already?
There's a lot of situations.
Yeah, I bet.
So then in 1983, this dude named Lee Morrison, who is also a resident of Pocahontas County, said that he and another dude named Gerald Brown had picked up the women while they were hitchhiking. They all, like, partied and drank together. Lee passed out.
Think they would do, like, at a festival like that.
Lee passed out, and when he woke up, he saw his friend, Gerald Brown, kill both the women. He helped his friend move the bodies to the edge of the field.
What?
So, but wait.
There's more.
But wait. So, Brown was arrested and charged for the murders, but Morrison recanted, stating Beard.
Oh my God, what the hell?
I know, this is crazy. He said Beard put him up to it, threatening his family. So he was like, Beard told me to make this statement, and he said that if I didn't, something bad would happen to my family.
Okay.
So, charges are dismissed.
I haven't had that happen to me, but I feel like I would just be like,
So charges are dismissed again. They're like, y'all are fucking unreliable.
Y'all wildin'.
Stop lying. So then it goes cold again. Until...
How is it going cold? Like, God, there's so much
evidence. There's no, like, evidence. Real leads.
Yeah, so. Sure. I just feel like there's... I guess it's hearsay, but it's like...
Exactly.
Good God.
So, April 1992...
What?
Six other men were charged with murder. Two of which said they saw Beard kill the woman. I'm not going to tell you all their names because, honestly, it doesn't fucking matter and, like, it'll just get confusing.
Yeah.
So there's six men, two of which say they literally saw Beard kill the women.
Okay.
Okay, so then... then the charges were dismissed from the two guys that said they, like, saw him.
Yeah.
When one man said he was physically threatened by the police. He said an officer put his foot on the back of his neck at one point. Like, what? To get, like, a confession that, like, Beard was there.
What the hell? So,
not good.
No.
Not a good look.
No.
Then, he completely recanted his story.
Oh my god!
I know. So the credibility of these men is just like...
It's really great.
It's really just gone out the window. Like, y'all are just really telling tall tales.
Get it together, ladies.
So then, in January 1993, Beard and the remaining four men were indicted again for the murders. April 93, Beard was arrested in Crescent County, Florida, where he had moved. So they're like, hey, we're going to arrest you, come back, we're going to do the trial, right? But wait, before the trial, Beard's lawyers are like, hey, wait, this other dude confessed to the murders. And they're like, who the fuck is this guy? Serial killer Joseph Paul Franklin, who was already serving 3 years life sentence in prison at a federal penitentiary in Marion, Illinois, just tells police that he did it. He's like, hey guys, I'm the killer. And he, like, draws a map to the location.
Okay.
He has nothing to do with anything. This is
just a quick sidestep.
Sure.
And I'm sure there's, like, some psychology on this. I just don't understand the people who take credit for murders they didn't commit.
Right.
That makes...
I really think it's boredom. Like, if you're serving 3 years life sentence, you're never getting out of there.
Sure.
What kind of entertainment do you have?
Maybe that's why, but I just...
And you're a psycho. So, like...
Yeah.
You want to fuck with people. You, like, that's the extent of fucking with people that you can do.
Well, I know.
You can, like, get police to be, like, all riled up, like, oh, yeah, I did this, and, like...
Well, that's how Ted Bundy tried to get from, yeah. Like, being the death penalty. He's like, I'll tell you more about more females. And they, at that point, were like, dude... That's between you and Jesus. We're killing you. Bye. Like,
don't give a fuck. Well, they do give a fuck, but also,
but like, they're like, at this point,
like, you're good.
Like, you're serving not, your sentence. You're, like,
you're being killed regardless. Please don't tell us more terrible things.
If you want to be a better person, that's on you, and that's great, but, like, we know you're just using this as leverage.
Sure. Exactly. So, I don't really know this man's, like, endgame either.
Yeah.
So, anyways, then they bring in the West Virginia police to interview him. Mm-hmm. And at first he's like, I didn't do that.
No, me?
Like, who, like, me? Completely denies it.
Clutching pearls and yeah. Everything.
Then he says, JK, it was me. And then...
Oh, I'm so annoyed right now.
Then
oh
he just stops God. Talking. Then he's just like... Okay, bye, wow, I'm not telling original. You anymore.
He stops talking about things yeah. He did.
So obviously, this is, like, super unreliable. They don't... He can't be taken to trial. Like, it just... It doesn't happen.
Yeah, sure.
So what ends up happening is that Beard goes to trial alone. The four other men claiming that they, like, hung out and drank with the girls are, like, they're not... On his side, basically. They're basically being like, he's the one that killed them. We saw it. Whatever the fuck.
Oh my god. Can we punch all these people in the face?
I know. It's so annoying.
Just wasting time. So,
basically, these four others claiming that they hung out with the girls say that the girl started arguing with one of them. And then Beard just, like, opened fire on them. He was just like, okay, bye.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna murder you now. And they all, like, witnessed it, apparently. Yeah. So, So then, June 4th, 1993, the jury convicts Beard for the murders. He was sentenced to life in prison without parole. The prosecution just dismisses the charges against the other four men. They're like, "Okay, bye, go home."
Like, it's been railed.
Yeah. Ugh. So they're never, like, prosecuted again. They're just, sure. like, off the hook, I guess. So then, in 1996, Beard's lawyers present a sworn statement from Joseph Paul Franklin, the weirdo serial killer who's just like...
Yeah, the one that's three life sentences?
Yeah.
Okay.
Saying that he killed the women. They also presented a testimony.
And he put this in writing?
Yeah. He, like, wrote it down, like, signed it and everything. So then they presented a testimony from two of the men that had gone to trial stating that they actually never saw Beard the day of the murders. Like, they were not hanging out. They were not partying with these girls. They never fucking saw him at all. So, in 99, a new trial was ordered.
And this is, like, 20 years after, almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Jesus this is Christ, fucking like, stupid.
I feel bad for these, like, families, because it's, like...
Right?
I feel like every time they have a new trial, it's, like, literally just slitting open the wound.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My God.
So then in 1999, they're like, okay, we've got a new trial, and Beard is released on bond. So,
what?
Yeah. Well, because they've got a new trial, and it's like, well, I guess we gotta, like, wait or whatever.
I love when we release murderers, you know. Like, it's so smart.
Allegedly.
So great. Yeah.
So then, May 2000, there's a second trial. He's acquitted and proceeds to file a wrongful conviction lawsuit.
Oh, Jesus. That was probably a bad idea, I'm guessing.
He won $2 million.
Oh, my God! The sun shines everywhere he walks.
Yeah, so then, you know, like, Kathy, I mean, like, Nancy's sister, is like, so not only do they, like, both families think that he did it. They truly think he did it.
I am one that, like, I want to, like, I feel like people, you know, like, I'll say this, like, I don't know how people are going to react about weird stuff, and, like, that was really weird that he called the families. And
that's
I don't
so
like to just
weird.
Say and I don't like to just say like, oh, he did it because, you know, it sounds like a good narrative. But I just don't understand how this guy is just getting like there are so many things that are pointing against this guy. I don't understand it.
Why are you inserting yourself into this?
Why are you opening a new wound for these families that are going through some serious shit? Like
right.
they're like every time something happened, I'm sure it was just like, you know, they took
again,
the wound,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, and not only that, now the family is, both families are like, they wholeheartedly believe that this man did it.
And he got $2 million.
And now, he's basically getting fucking rewarded for killing their loved ones. And, like, I don't know, I honestly... In my opinion, I think that he did do it. I think that a lot of those men were involved. I think that something happened and shit went wrong and, like, I don't fucking know, but I don't think that he's innocent.
No, none of that.
I think he's involved in some capacity.
And maybe he wasn't the one who was behind it, like, pulled the trigger, but... I don't know. I've never been like, oh, let me just call this family because I think it's
how
like bullshit what they're
that?
Going through. That makes no fucking sense.
And, like, I guess I can also kind of understand it's a different time.
Stir up shit with people and, like, call
with
them.
With random strangers.
You're being, like,
in a different state.
Yeah, if he was known as, like, the town empath or whatever, I would feel really different about
he
this.
He was the town empath.
Oh, there's the empath walking around just feeling
crying
empathy.
Everywhere.
Just crying.
Feeling everyone's shit.
But, like, the fact that, like, he was, like, the bully, I don't
and
know.
And that he, like, gets kind of, like, fucked up and is really mean, like...
It's not a good look. You know, what's crazy is this isn't really a case I've ever heard of, really.
I know. I had, like... kind of heard about it, but I, like, never really, like, dived into it kind of
yeah.
thing. when I heard the, like, name of it, assumed it was, like, a cult, and they, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of were, like, trying to escape or something. Like, the, but the Rainbow Gathering and the Rainbow Family literally had nothing to do with this other than that the girls
that were on their way to the
festival.
Yeah.
If you have any suggestions on cases that you think should be more well known that we should bring attention to,
or just something you want to know the ins and outs of.
Interesting. Yeah, like something that you've maybe heard of and you just don't know all the details, like, let us know. It doesn't have to be true crime. Could also be
something spooky, haunted,
ghost stories.
We love that kind
cryptids.
Of stuff.
Yeah, anything creepy.
Yeah. Just email us at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com or follow our Instagram, mysteriousmavenspod, or visit our website at mysteriousmavenspod.com. Please subscribe and review. All right.
All right. Till next time.
Bye.
Bye.